Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Ever dealt with a situation like this before? Of just a guy being frustrated like you're mean in AAA and, you know, needing kind of a reminder or, you know, encouragement?
A whole bunch of times. I mean, you know, it's in the big leagues and you go to AAA, even as great a situation as in Charlotte, it's an adjustment and you got to figure a way to tough it out. So yeah, it's happened around a long time. It's happened more than two handfuls. Everyone's an individual situation. So in every case, you know, you get involved and you talk, because one of the things you always try to do is build a relationship. So just like I had one with him, so I reach out to him.
Batting here in the top of the eighth inning is Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant is going to pinch hit for Ian Happ against the left-hander TJ McFarland. 3-2 to Bryant, low and inside, ball four. Leadoff base on balls. Tying run is on. Now let's see if Chris can run for himself. I see Jason Hayward jumping out of the dugout on the third base side, and he will run for Bryant. But a good quality plate appearance for Chris, and he's jogging off and looks pretty good doing it, Ron.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. That was Tony La Russa talking about Yumin Mercedes back on Thursday night. Actually, Wednesday night it was. And yesterday the White Sox had the night off. And we also heard from Pat Hughes on WSCR calling the Cubs-Cardinals game last night, a 3-2 loss for the Cubs. But Chris Bryant made an appearance, and Dr. Hughes pronounced Chris Bryant's hamstring looked a little healthier than maybe it did earlier, jogging off the field, looking pretty fit and healthy.
He's always been a great jogger, Chris Bryant. Yeah. that is the telltale sign of a healthy player.
Well, Chris Bryant did not play the previous night, and we wondered about that because he was in a position where they could have used him as a pinch hitter. We wondered about why he had the night off. David Ross pushed back at that a little bit and said, why would he play a backup catcher Chirinos. At second base like yeah. Chirinos Oof. If he had, you know, the availability of Chris Bryant? So it underscored just that he was injured, which is a very delicate balance to strike, Mark Grody, because you have the reality that we're a week away from the trade deadline. Chris Bryant has a fatigued hamstring, but you don't want to label him injured because you don't want to diminish his trade value in theory. And so you have this sort of oddity of having to play that game and not maybe let people know that he's injured, even if he is.
Yeah, and I still don't think he's injured. I mean, I think he's had issues with the hamstring like every major league player this year. So to continue to call it fatigue and to not want him playing the outfield nor running the bases, he's not injured. He's just like, and I think they are doing this for the sake of other teams to keep it that way. And the telltale sign was the fact that he walks and that he comes out of the game for a pinch runner. They don't want him extending it in any way, shape, or form. I don't expect that to change.
You can't trade a player who pulls his hamstring. You can't right. trade a player who is injured to the extent that, you know, he has to sit out for another, you know, week to 2 weeks. Who knows what? So why would you take the chance? I said yesterday, and some people pushed back at this. I think Gordon Wittenmeyer, that I thought the Cubs, if this is going to be the reality, just put him on an injured list retroactive to when he tweaked his hamstring and protect yourself against that injury. And bring him back next Saturday if he's still a member of your organization. And if he's not, then the team that gets him can get him next Saturday. I think that would be one possible solution. But then the idea is, well, you can't label him or diminish his trade value
right.
by labeling him injured. Everybody knows what's going on here.
Yeah.
They have access to the medical. They know what's going on.
If Steve Cohen, the Mets owner, calls and they ask the guy, hey, dude, what's really going on here? Jed Hoyer is going to say, yeah, look, fatigued hamstring. Come on. Nobody's ever heard that. He's fine. We're just protecting our asset. I'm more team Gordon Wittmeyer on that, because one thing too is you do have to continue to show Chris Bryant. Other teams that are interested in Chris Bryant don't want him sitting around. And
what are you going to learn about Chris Bryant in the next week, Grody, that you don't know already?
What if he goes on a hot streak or an extreme cold? What if he's 0 for 5 every day for the next 4 or 5 days and he goes on a horrible slump? Does that diminish his value? Or on the other side of it, the antithesis, that'll be the word of the day today, by the way, boys and girls. On the other side of it, if he's hot, could that increase his value? I think you have to keep some form of the guy staying in baseball shape and not just sit him out, put him in mothballs and say, here he is, now present. I mean, we all saw how that worked out once upon a time ago when Craig Kimbrell sat out for a year and then comes to the Cubs and he was awful.
Okay, so, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. I will go with that, I suppose. I don't think that people are going to learn anything about Chris Bryant they don't already know, and they're not going to change their opinion if they're compelled
just to
trade
in shape,
for
him. Just to keep appearances.
Just some baseball shape. So yeah. I think there are two questions as we sit here this morning that are sort of, you could go either way with the White Sox heading into Milwaukee for a World Series preview, if you will, starting tonight in Milwaukee. But I think with the Yermín Mercedes unretirement yesterday, I think the question is, what do the Sox see? How big of a distraction was it? And how should the Sox respond, if at all, to Yermín Mercedes' 24-hour plea for attention? It's over to I'm back. And what is the White Sox best response to that? Is this somebody that you think can contribute down the road in a pennant race? And then the Cubs issue, I think the biggest one is in regard to Chris Bryant. Nelson Cruz was traded by the Twins from the Twins to the Rays, and the Rays gave up two minor league AAA starting pitchers. And they are guys who were the number 10 and 17 prospects in their organization. Is that enough? And if you're the Cubs, do you look at that as setting the marketplace for a slugger like Chris Bryant? I think, would you settle for two starting pitchers who are on the cusp of major league, joining a major league rotation, or would you want more? Is it greedy to think that you should get more? 312-644-6767. What do you think, baseball fans in Chicago?
I definitely think that if these two guys that Nelson Cruz is traded for are truly major league ready, and I don't know at what level that means, what skill level or what contribution level that means. That's a little bit ambiguous right there. But if you're really getting two guys who, and does that mean starters? I don't know.
Well, they're starters,
okay.
Yes.
All right, then
yes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Like if you could get two starter level pitchers for Chris Bryant, considering the Cubs have failed to grow their own prospects as pitchers and having to, you know, go to other organizations to get guys like Jake Arrieta and Kyle Hendricks and the signing of John Lester, that's pretty good. That's two starting pitchers in Major League Baseball? That's
Joe Ryan and Drew Stroutman. Those are the two pitchers that they got from the Rays organization. The one thing that you like about that is the Rays organization is a pretty good organization in terms of developing talent,
true,
in terms of drafting intelligently.
Uh-huh.
So you feel like you got guys who were on the way up and will be good Major League pitchers. Ryan is a 25-year-old who is actually pitching for Team USA in the Olympics. So he is, He's 25. I mean, it's probably older than some prospects you would expect. And Strootman is 24. So these are guys who have been around for a little while. I think that's interesting, Mark Grody, because you look at that's a rental like Chris Bryant is. And then you look back and, Manny Machado, that's probably another comp. And you go back 3 years, and I think the currency probably has changed. But when the Baltimore Orioles traded Manny Machado in July of 2018 to the Los Angeles Dodgers, they got not one, not two, not three, but five prospects back for Manny Machado. They were a mixture and a collection of Class AA and Single A prospects, but they got five prospects back for Manny Machado, who was 26 at the time, and probably closer to the type of talent and player that Chris Bryant is at this point.
That sounds a little bit like the Yu Darvish trade to me. A bunch of single-A guys and guys that we don't know now that have not made any kind of impact yet.
A fistful of baseball lottery tickets is the best way to maybe describe that.
All right, let me ask you this question. So you think the Cubs should get more than two starting pitching caliber prospects? What more? Like, specifically, what more? A third, a fourth, a position player, a major league player? What more would you want for Chris Bryant?
That's a really good question, because I think the answer is hard to pinpoint, because rankings are so subjective and rankings are so arbitrary that I can't tell you the 17th ranked pitching prospect in the Rays organization, how does that compare to what the 12th ranked pitching prospect is in the Dodgers organization?
Sure.
So these are people that you have to trust the professionalism and the evaluation skills of the scouts in the Cubs organization. That said, I would like somebody that seems like more of a sure thing. Somebody who isn't maybe in the double digits in terms of prospects in their respective organization.
So want I know you're not saying star level, but somebody who would be like, let's get really specific, like a two or a three type of guy in a rotation, an ace. Are you talking like potential ace?
You're not going to probably pry the number one pitching prospect or two pitching prospect from an organization for a rental player, even though I think that's probably why we hear in the reports the Nationals are they have fallen back in terms of the conversation and speculation, because the Cubs wanted a couple of those pitching prospects who were rated highly. I think what I would like ideally is maybe a top 10 prospect, whether it's a pitcher or a position player. And then if you want to talk about somebody between 10 and 20, and then maybe a third throw in possibly who has, maybe not as highly rated, but has some skills that you think you can develop. And I think that may be asking for a lot, but you're giving up a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it too, like specifically what the Cubs are going to lose after this year. You're not going to march Trevor Williams back out there next year. I doubt Jake Arrieta will be a starting pitcher for the Cubs next year, and Zach Davies becomes a free agent. I don't think he's going to be back for the Cubs next year as well. So if you're talking about, like, if this hypothetical trade was to occur with the Cubs like it did with Tampa Bay and the Minnesota Twins, getting two starting pitcher caliber young arms to put into that rotation next year to see what they have in a year, even though they're not rebuilding, I don't expect next year to be the year in which the Cubs are expected to get back to the postseason. I'm talking about next year. Like, you got to have, like, with those three guys that I just mentioned that are going to be gone from this start, the only sure thing you have in that rotation next year, quite frankly, is Kyle Hendricks. I mean, I think Edbert Alzolay will still exist, but there's a lot, as we talked about earlier, as you properly said. I mean, there is a lot of work to do still with Edbert Alzolay. So you got one sure thing. If you could get two starting pitcher arms out of Chris Bryant at this point, like specifically with the Cubs' needs, I think that's pretty good.
Are they going to both pan out, though? Are they both going to be guys that you can pencil in to the rotation to follow Hendricks, Alzolay, and the two guys you get for Chris Bryant? That's asking. I don't know that that's realistic.
I think that next year you can afford to kind of have those sort of tryouts, because I think next year will be the year that they're not expected to win. And if those don't work out, then you hopefully are in the process continuing to develop your own guys in the minor leagues, guys that we probably don't even know about, names that we don't know that will eventually come up. And then the nuclear option, too, where you go out and you sign your next John Lester, your next $150 to $200 million ace, or maybe even two, Haw.
That's the nuclear option?
Well,
going out
in general, the nuclear option. Because here's the thing. I should explain that further. One thing the Cubs have never done in this era, has been the 90s Yankees or teams or the Los Angeles Dodgers, where you go out and, yep, we're going to give $300 million to a player. We're going to give $200 million. The Cubs have enough money, or will,
okay,
in theory, have enough money to do that. Something they've
in
never
theory,
done.
In theory, though, okay, but see, I'm glad you talked in circles there, because you got me back to the point where if you are going to spend $250 million, or what you said there, $200 million, why wouldn't you pay it to the guy who is your foundational piece in Chris Bryant?
Because he doesn't want to be here. That's what I'm worried about. I don't know that for a fact, but the answer to that is I feel like Chris Bryant wants to begin a new chapter in his major league career. Yes, I am. I would love it. I would love it if they would put their $200 million towards Chris Bryant. I think he is the guy that I would sign and give the money to. I just don't think it's going to be reciprocated.
The Score listener lines powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's squeeze in Nick, who is on the road. Good morning, Nick. Welcome to The Score.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Ultimately, I would like to see him sign Chris Bryant. I think he's clearly been the best player through this era. I think it would make the most sense to give him the money. Also, I don't think Hoyer is going to give him away for nothing with his first big deal as the man in charge. But ultimately, I think if they got two starters or starting quality pitchers,
Bears,
they have a lot of, I think that would be good and acceptable. Although, again, I would like to see him sign Bryant and trade Baez, trade Rizzo, trade Kimbrel, trade everyone.
Whoa.
Keep Contreras and Bryant and just make it happen with those two. I think that makes the most sense.
Oh,
he's
God.
The best player.
Thanks, Nick.
It's the 1987 Cubs, ladies and gentlemen. It's Andre Dawson and everybody else. Oh,
I think they're more likely to keep Baez and trade Bryant, excuse me. I don't think there's a lot of interest in Anthony Rizzo. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Craig Kimbrel is going to be dealt sooner rather than later. They're just waiting for that market to intensify, as Bruce Levine reported on 670 The Score. There are five teams interested.
Inside the clubhouse.
And tomorrow, 9 to 11.
Boom.
And there's plenty more we need to get to. Mark Grody, who was in for Mike Mulligan. But next, the pick six here on Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Which manager would you rather have in this weekend's Brewers-White Sox I-94 war? Some consider a World Series preview. Which starting rotation would you prefer in a seven-game series?
Would you stop referring to it as the I-94 Walmart, Grody?
I did not come up with that.
Come on. That's
not
my going to start catching on by October, which, by the way, 3 months from next, I think, Monday it is, that the game one of the World Series is scheduled to start. And this preview this weekend, I think that because it is in Milwaukee, because it is a National League, they will be playing by National League rules, and I think that just because the respect that he's beginning to gain, I know Dustin may cringe at this, but Craig Counsell is somebody that I would think has the edge this weekend over a Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa has pushed some of the right buttons, started slow, but I think Craig Counsell has had a better season than Tony La Russa, and in his ballpark, pushing the familiar buttons and having the double switch at his disposal. It's been a while since Tony La Russa has been in the National League. So I think that I would definitely give Craig Counsell the edge, and I would give the White Sox the starting rotation edge because of experience, because of the guys like Lance Lynn and Rodon, who's throwing hard, and Giolito probably in a seven-game series, yeah, but I think also Dallas Keuchel, you might see him. So I would think that would give the White Sox a slight edge in the starting rotation.
If I'm not mistaken, and this will blow your mind, I think Craig Counsell might be the most tenured manager in Major League Baseball. Like, he has been with the same team the longest. I've got to look at, in some capacity, it might just be the National League, it could be both leagues, but I think that's pretty amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, right? Like, that he's been around that long and that he is the most, you know, stable manager, if you will, at this point. But I'm going to give a slight edge to Tony La Russa in this one. Tony La Russa gets off on National League Baseball. It's actually been one of his downfalls this year as manager of the White Sox, where he has bunted in situations where it may have been appropriate in National League games, but just wasn't in American League games. And his most success came from being a manager with the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not discounting what he did with Oakland, but he loved that micromanaging style and the double switches and pinch hitting and deciding when to take out a pitcher. So I'm going to give a slight edge to Tony La Russa on that one. I think the Milwaukee starting rotation is a touch better. Just going on, and I think it's because of tonight's matchup. The Lucas Giolito, Freddy Peralta, 390 ERA for Giolito, 239 for Peralta. Very close the rest of the way, but just a tiny, slightest edge to the top three of Milwaukee over the top three of the White Sox.
Bob Melvin hired in 2011, so I think he has more tenure than Craig Counsell, but
okay.
In the National League, I think you're right.
It is Counsell.
And also, why do you hate the White Sox?
That's twice now. I'm just, hey, man. Keeping it real.
A pick six to end the half.
Our guy Bruce Levine reported on 670thescore.com that there has been little trade interest in Anthony Rizzo, who has struggled mightily in the past month. Despite all the speculation, how conceivable is it that Rizzo will neither be traded by the deadline or re-signed in free agency by the Cubs?
I think he is re-signed in free agency by the Cubs. I think the last time, and it was recent, that Rizzo was asked about it, his tone didn't have like the urgency and angst to it like it had before the season started, and even the beginning of the season, where he put the kibosh on discussing it any further. He entertained the question, and he kind of said, look, you guys all know how I feel. So I think that he continues to want to be here. And then I never discount the Jed Hoyer connection to Anthony Rizzo in Boston, in San Diego, and then when Jed Hoyer got to the Cubs, he had to trade Andrew Cashner to get Anthony Rizzo here, which was a golden move, obviously, a strong move. Some people at the time hated it because Cashner appeared to be the next thing, up-and-coming, you know, firing Texan. But, so I think that they will get a deal done, and I think both sides will be happy. He's going to kind of be the legacy signing for the Cubs.
Yeah, but you know what? He's got to hit better than he has the past month, or else you might not want him in your next iteration of the Cubs. Your next great Cub team may not have room for a first baseman in decline with a bad back that you're going to have to overpay to keep. Really? Do you want him? I don't know. I think that's an unanswerable question right now because he has been so bad in the month of July. So maybe you could talk to Red Sox, who, by the way, have the lowest first base WAR, W-A-R, in all caps, not the I-94 WAR. So it's the first base WAR in the majors with a negative WAR. And I think that's one thing you have to consider. The Red Sox, you mentioned Jed Hoyer's background with that organization. Maybe they can make a deal for a guy to get something for Anthony Rizzo before he is forced to keep him for sentimental reasons. You don't want to get into that discussion. We don't want to be sitting here debating whether or not he's really worth overpaying for because his statistics aren't very good right now, at least over the past 30 days.
Pick six! Wow!
With rumors again building about the Jets trading for Bears quarterback Nick Foles to back up Zach Wilson, how high of a draft pick should the Bears request? Or if the Jets are willing to take Foles off the Bears' hands, would you throw in a draft pick if you're Ryan Pace to shed that salary?
Well, Ryan Pace may be tempted to throw in a draft pick just out of habit, Mark Grody. But I think that when you look at the albatross, is probably too strong, but the burden that Nick Foles' contract represents on the salary cap for the Bears, if the Jets are in need of a veteran presence for Zach Wilson to develop, and I think they really are, there's nobody on that depth chart that they look at and they say, okay, we can trust him to finish a game if our guy gets hurt, or even to give him a this is some semblance of how to be a professional. They may want that. So I don't think you need to be too picky. If they're willing to take Nick Foles and his salary, a seventh-round pick would be just fine. Just fine. Don't be picky. Don't barter. Say thank you very much for doing business. Here, Nick, thank you for the memories.
That's the best that they would get. I don't even know if they would get a draft pick out of Nick Foles at this point, but a seventh, I promise you, they would get nothing better than a seventh-round pick at this point in Nick Foles' career based on what happened last year and just sort of an inconsistent career in general. And yeah, man, like, I've thought about this. If Justin Fields is starting at some point in time this season, let's just say for the hell of it, let's just say Justin Fields starts in week six this year, and you still have Andy Dalton and Nick Foles on your roster, if you're able to keep all of that, like we talked about what's the best position group on the Bears, that all of a sudden turns into, if everything is right like that, that's a great position group, isn't it? Like
let's not use the word great.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a different category. It's a newer type of thing. Like, your backups are really good then. You have two really good – and not only that, you have two really good voices, healthy voices in the quarterback room as well. So that would all of a sudden become an enviable position of other teams. Look at that quarterback room that the Bears have. Bears.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
I do not condone or tolerate harassment or assault of any type. As you know, the Blackhawks have engaged an outside legal firm to conduct an independent review of these allegations, and we need to give the experts the necessary time and the latitude to do their job well.
With the Sun-Times reporting details and court documents that make the Blackhawks scandal even uglier, how do you view Hawks GM Stan Bowman's acknowledgement and statement at the beginning of his remarks Thursday? What's your interest level in Friday night's NHL draft when the Hawks pick 11th?
Unfortunately, oh no, is this you first or is this
you
me?
You first.
Okay. Unfortunately, this was predictable. What Stan Bowman's tone and basically reading from a script and not really adding anything in terms of the correct follow-up questions. So it was sadly, it was predictable. The thing that I was most interested in that Stan Bowman said, he says, I'm eager to speak about this in more detail in the future, but for now, I have to respect the pending litigation and the independent review. I hope that he is held to that. I hope that he truly shows that he is eager to speak about this in more detail and that he does. And I hope he's able to recuse himself of having been in the room because one of the other damning parts of this was, I still go back to, Paul Vincent, one of their skills coaches, telling a group of Hawks executives, allegedly including John McDonough and Stan Bowman, about the incident May 17 of 2010. That has to be explained somehow, some way. And I would love to hear Stan Bowman deny it and explain to us what happened. That didn't happen yesterday. So I hope he is held to explaining himself in the future. And I don't really care about the NHL draft.
That's all people want to know is who was in the room and what compelled them to believe that contacting the police wasn't the right idea or the right thing to do. And that's what we didn't hear yesterday. You did hear his tone, and it was a bit tone deaf. You can't lawyer up, even though that may be what you have to do, but you can't sound so much like you're lawyering up. And I don't think that was satisfactory, even though it was probably the only thing he could say. It seemed a little detached. This is not something you want to be detached from because of the nature of the allegations, because of the level of the detail that are so disturbing. And we saw that again in the Sun-Times story today. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And the Blackhawks have not handled this in a way that shows an understanding of crisis management and the way that the perception is being shaped here. So I think that was a miss. That was a shot that you took and you missed badly. I'm not that interested in who they draft 11th, but I do get a sense that they're going to be a big trade today. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a deal that the Blackhawks make, or at least that this is when these things typically happen.
You mean like a whopper, like a Kane?
Seth Jones
level?
Could be the guy that's the center of a lot of speculation. Let's see what they would have to
All
give
right.
up
okay.
for him.
Okay.
It's a pick six.
Why do you think ESPN reported the news this week that the Packers offered to make Aaron Rodgers the highest paid NFL quarterback when, in fact, Bob McGinn of The Athletic reported the same deal two months ago? If you suspect a leak by the team, what kind of game are they playing? And how might it affect Rodgers reporting to training camp on time?
Well, I don't know if it's going to have any effect on Aaron Rodgers. I think he's probably oblivious to the games that the Packers are trying to play. But it did strike me as something that was planted by the team, repackaged by ESPN. A lot of respect for Adam Schefter, who doesn't, but I do think that this seemed like it was repurposed for the purpose of creating some sort of response from Aaron Rodgers, because this was information that McGinn reported a couple months ago. The fact that they wanted to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league and there was a 5-year commitment, I don't know that you can make a 5-year commitment. And I think the big thing was the highest paid quarterback. And that's something that we had already heard before. So this is the back and forth that we're going to continue to see. And there's a lot of suspense whether or not he reports or not. I don't think he comes on time, but I think he'll end up getting there eventually.
What the Green Bay Packers know is that the court of public opinion means a lot. And right now that is the topic in Wisconsin and Green Bay. This side of the Milwaukee Bucks, like who's right, who's wrong. And, you know, every time I've asked somebody who is on the inside in Milwaukee, it's kind of like 50-50. A lot of people think, you know, Aaron Rodgers has been the bad guy in this. A lot of people think that it's Brian Gutekunst or any of the upper management for the Green Bay Packers. So this was it's a smart move if the Green Bay Packers planted this thing. Like
you got people in Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. Rami Makhlouf. Oh, God, I just gave up one of my sources.
The Bratstop?
Yeah, the Bratstop. Yeah. All those dudes on that one radio station in Milwaukee. seriously, but having those guys on as guests on The Score whenever I've asked them about it, they said it goes both ways.
And we've got one at 840.
Oh, we do. Oh, that's right. We were talking with Tim Allen. Talking about those.
That's a tease, Grody.
Yeah, absolutely. Good job, Haw. You are a professional, my friend. But I think that this puts the Packers back in pole position in terms of the court of public opinion.
That is a pick six.
How much will you watch the Olympics, which stage opening ceremonies tonight in Tokyo? Do you think the games will be interrupted due to COVID? Besides basketball, what is the sport you watch closely that you might not pay attention to for another 4 years?
All right, yeah, I will watch some of it. I think in my history of the Olympics is to definitely turn it on and watch it maybe for about 10, 15 minutes and then come back to it often, like just flip to it. And obviously I'll be focusing on the White Sox game tonight. The Cubs have a day game today, so I don't have to worry about flipping between that. So I'll go back and forth to it. I want to see what it all looks like, get a feel for it, and then I'll probably go away from it. Do I think it'll be interrupted by COVID? I think that there'll be like a blemish or two in terms of COVID, but nothing – You know, based on our conversation yesterday with Bobby V in talking about the chaos that would incur if, like, this thing was to be shut down, so I don't think there'll be anything huge with it, and they're taking all precautions. So I don't think, actually, that's going to be a big story. I think they preemptively have taken care of that. Besides basketball, what will I be watching? I don't know. I've always liked that. I like watching people run fast. Like, I think that, and that's probably because when I played baseball in high school, I was like the slowest guy on the team. Bad.
You were Canerco?
Oh, I was totally Canerco.
Like, Yachty?
The worst. The worst. Like, I was horrible. So I have always had envy for those who can run fast. So I will enjoy watching the sprinters.
You were stealing a lot of bases there.
No. Actually, I was, because catcher sucked in high school baseball. Like, I did steal bases.
I'm looking forward to the Olympics. I think that the opening ceremonies are always a lot of pomp and circumstance that you enjoy and appreciate. You know, the Olympics are the best of the best, and this year is going to be a little different because you watch with some anxiety there. I will be surprised if they go 3 weeks without an interruption, without some sort of COVID-related. I don't want to say that's going to be part of the story. It's going to get in the way and make one sport or one competition compromised. And I think maybe to some degree it already has. So I hope that I'm wrong, but I think that's the way the story is going. And I think every 4 years I become like the best and the most scrutinizing gymnastics judge, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because we all become experts about, you know, what that was a good score or a bad score, and you don't know what you're really evaluating, but every 4 years you're an expert. So I look forward to being a gymnastics expert again.
I get nervous watching the gymnastics. Like, I so badly want them to do well, and I have a hard time watching that through. Like, when they're on the balance beam, I'm like, you got to be careful. You just got to be careful up there. And then their landings, I can't, the vault.
Well, see, like, you were slow, so you like to watch speed. I am not very flexible, so I like to see people who are.
Oh, and whereas you could see me work a pommel horse, man.
I bet you could.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. I bet you're great on the beam as well.
Oh, my God, I'm unbelievable.
Because you are as well-balanced as they come, Mark Grody.
The equilibrium right here is something.
And speaking of well-balanced, we're going to talk to another guy who is well-balanced, Bruce Levine, my buddy, my partner on Inside the Clubhouse, our baseball expert. Next, Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I'm Jeremy. I can be 100%, you know, because if I change it, everything's going to change it.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, Mark Grody in for Mully. That was the voice of Yermin Mercedes in happier days. Pre-retirement and unretirement, and it's time now to go to the Home Run In hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. That's where we find our baseball expert, Bruce Levine. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, guys. Yeah, I wonder if Yermin is retiring or playing today.
So, Bruce, that's a good question. You don't know what's next with him. You don't know how he's going to respond to all this. What was your take on how the Sox handled what happened and why it happened?
Well, I think the Sox handled it well because they didn't really respond to it at all. You know, they just let Yermin go and do his Instagram, stuff. And 2 days in a row, he showed his frustration of not being in the big leagues, not really enjoying the process down there, although he's been productive. I mean, the hitting, he's got a 1,000 OPS down there, so he's hitting the ball, but he really has no position, and he really never has. The catching has been bad, 7 pass balls and lots of stolen bases off of him. He's really not a major league quality catcher. He certainly proved in the month of April that he's a major league quality hitter, but since that point, he's back to being the suspect that he was coming into spring training.
All right. So that said, if he continues to hit well, and I hear you, when he doesn't have other abilities to help a major league team, could he still make a playoff roster for the White Sox in hopes that he could come off the bench and deliver a big hit?
If there's 3 or 4 injuries, probably.
Mm, that's big deal.
And I'm not being smart about it. No. I'm just telling you the fact. You know, you're hopefully getting Eloy Jimenez back soon. You're hopefully getting Luis Robert back soon. Where exactly would he fit? In the American League with the DH, you can't afford a guy that has no position and is just a designated hitter once or twice a week. I mean, a pinch hitter once or twice a week. So from that perspective, there's no room. Plus, remember the new major league rules. We didn't see it much in effect last year, but the expanded rosters in September now are only two players, okay? No more expanded rosters right. where you can bring up a whole – and I think that's really important to look at when you look at players like Mercedes. So barring some injuries, I don't see Mercedes coming back to the White Sox.
Bruce, nice story on 670thescore.com talking about the Cubs trade possibilities and how it may go down to the wire next week, a week from today, July 30th, the trade deadline. When you look at what the Twins got for Nelson Cruz – how does that relate to what the Cubs may ask for or want for Chris Bryant?
Well, you know, look, I don't think the Cubs have to trade those guys as much as everybody says they do. I don't think so. I mean, you can always give them a qualifying offer. You also have an extra 3 weeks or so before free agency hits that you can talk to guys seriously about long-term deals or extensions. And you can get minor league or you can get draft picks back for them if they don't sign with you. It doesn't sound great for guys that took you to the World Series. You want to get the top quality back, but you know you're not in a strong position right now to get the most out of them unless there's a couple more injuries this week. I think Kimbrel is going to bring you back the most because of what a difference maker he is at this point. I mean, he can go to any team and solidify an already good bullpen or make a bullpen that's not quite there but is in contention a lot better. So he's the guy that should bring you a top young player or two. In the case of Bryant, as good a season as he had starting in April and May, you know, June was off. July, there's been a couple of injury issues that he's had to deal with. One was with his hand and the other now with the hamstring. So I'm not so sure you get all that much back for him. Maybe you're better off keeping him. But I'm a big fan of the show American Pickers. And in that show where guys go around collecting American, things to restore and, historical, artifacts, they talk about bundling when they make a deal. And I think that applies to the Major League Baseball trading deadline, in particular the Cubs, because if you consider a trade that you include a starting pitcher like Davies or you include Kimbrel and Bryant in one deal, that's where the Cubs might eat some of those contract. You know, there's a lot of contract money still due. So they might eat some of that money to get better prospects. And that's what I think some of the intrigue is about here, watching to see if they can get optimum amount of young players back in a deal, even if you put together Kimbrel and Bryant in one deal, let's say to Philadelphia or one of the National League East teams that is very much in there. The Mets have not been able to separate themselves from that division. So you have another three teams that are really right there within two, three, four games. And one of those teams might be the team that tries to make a significant deal for multiple players on another team. And the Cubs might be one of those candidates.
Wow, that is interesting, the idea of bundling and your love for American Pickers. I'm very interested in
that. Is that on QVC?
Network? What
History
channel?
History Channel.
Oh, that's on after the Hoarder show, I think, right? Are you into hoarding too, Bruce?
You'd have to talk to my family and my girlfriend about that. Okay. I have piles of media, guides.
Okay, Grobber.
So, if you look in the back seat of any media person's car,
yeah,
I think you get the answer to that.
It's not pretty. Yeah.
No.
We are not, we're
no,
not
I can
tidy.
Speak for me and a number of others who just use the back seat as kind of like a shelf in their house.
Right.
Okay. and that's what it's all about. But it would be very interesting to see whether a deal like that can be made. Again, in the Bryant contract, over $6 million still due. In the Rizzo and the Kimbrel contract, over $5 million still due. In the Baez contract, about $3.5 million. So this is a significant money that has to be dealt with. it just depends on, you know, how the Cubs want to shuffle it, if they want to eat some of those contracts, or not all of them, but some portions of them, to get better prospects.
Good stuff, Bruce. Look forward to tomorrow, 9 to 11, inside the clubhouse. I know we've got a lot of good stuff planned, and we can get into this a little bit further.
And we can talk a little about Hawk Harrelson and his induction into the broadcaster's wing of the Hall of Fame.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board, yes. Mercy, that is a big moment for Hawk Harrelson. Thanks, Bruce. Have a great weekend. Talk to you tomorrow. Bruce Levine, the Scores baseball expert. And he's right. That's a big weekend for Hawk. It's a big weekend for the White Sox. Is it a big enough weekend for the White Sox, do you think, Mark Grody, that the White Sox fans will travel north on I-94?
I do.
Going into Wisconsin. If you're a White Sox fan planning that trip, let us know what you think. Is it worth going into Wisconsin for this series? Is this a World Series preview to you, White Sox fan? 312-644-6767. Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!